This is an iHeart podcast.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We care more than they care. We're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to talk to Carol Roth about our finances. We have a doctor here and the border, scary things. All that's coming up on I'm Right. You know what's maddening about our current situation in this country? And I know you're going to feel this, because I feel this. What's maddening is the people who are captaining the ship, they don't give a crap that it's going down. You care. I care. I care deeply. You care deeply. You want it to stop. You want to save the ship. You want to save the people. But the captain, he's sound asleep. And that is driving me insane. The lack of care from the elites who run the United States of America. They just don't seem to realize exactly where we are. Or if they do realize where we are, they're okay with it. And of course, that is the answer, isn't it? It's not really that they don't care. It looks like they don't care. The truth is, this is what they've always wanted. They've always wanted a collapse of everything good and decent in this country. Now, maybe you're sitting there saying, that's crazy. Why would they want that? They're a part of it, too. No, they really aren't. When the fiscal collapse gets here and these people blow everything up financially, they're all millionaires, billionaires, their friends are. The truth is, they're going to be fine. You won't. I won't. But they're all going to be fine. And so they don't give a crap. I wrap your mind around how insane this is, and I couldn't get this off my mind this weekend. I've been stewing about it and stewing about it and stewing about it. Remember Joe Biden gave that presidential address last week? Now, let's pause for a moment. That's a big deal. And this is what I mean. Very few times in any president's presidency will he address the nation in that way. In what way? Sit behind the Resolute desk, call up every single TV station and say, hey, I want you to stop all your regularly scheduled programming. I'm going to give a speech to address the country. That, no matter if you're a popular president or an unpopular president, you only get so many of those as a president. Those are rare. Because eventually, if you don't say anything huge, the people don't care. And the TV networks won't carry it. So when a president addresses the nation, stop the presses, the World Series, that's not the World Series yet, but the playoffs and the Bachelor, the whatever people are watching, everything must stop because America must hear me speak. That's a big deal. The times that's been done in the past, presidents, Republican and Democrat, it was always a big deal. Which brings us to Joe Biden's from last week. He cuts in on everybody's TV programming and addresses the country, and it was for Ukraine money. Was it for the border, the financial situation? And it really wasn't about the whole Israel thing that has everybody up in arms right now. He used that for money for Ukraine. And then this might be the best part of it. After he sits down to address the nation, again, that's a big deal, and that's a signal. This is critically important. He sits down and he tells all of us, I need all of your tax money. We have to send it to Ukraine, or Putin wins, or something like that. Then he did this.
Mr. President, have you heard anything about American hostages? Mr. President!
He went to the beach? So what was happening was so important that it required a presidential address, And then he promptly, I don't know, where's Jill? Hey, don't forget my extra diapers. I love the beach this time of year. And they promptly took off to the beach. Just ridiculous people. And just so you think I'm not being partisan, although I am very, very partisan, Republicans do the same thing too. I realize everyone cares about this but me right now. The Speaker's race. Speaker of the House. Here's Michael McCaul.
I have to say, it's my 10th term in Congress.
Yeah.
This is probably one of the most embarrassing things I've seen, because if we don't have a Speaker of the House, we can't govern. And every day it goes by, we're essentially shut down as a government. We have very important issues right now, war and peace.
We can't govern. I've never been this embarrassed.
Okay.
Now, look, maybe you do find it embarrassing that we don't have a Republican Speaker of the House, that this whole thing is a mess and kind of looks like a mess. I'm not faulting you for that if you think it's ridiculous, but you've never been this embarrassed? $1 trillion bill after $1 trillion bill sails through the House of Representatives with Democrat and Republican support. Democrat and Republican presidents signing $1 trillion bill after $1 trillion bill, with the fiscal collapse now imminent because of interest rates, personal savings, and a variety of other things. And these people care the most about the speakership? Really? That's what got you? That was the moment you thought, man, it's so embarrassing. You see, you want to know why Joe Biden went to walk on the beach? We have Americans being held hostage, might I remind everybody. Americans are being held hostage in Gaza. But you want to know why Joe Biden gives that speech and goes and walks on the beach? You want to know why Republicans are most mortified that we don't have a Speaker of the House? The real reason why is none of these people genuinely care about the country the way you and me care about the country. I love my country, man. I love it. We were at a football game, high school football game on Friday night. And again, national anthem, some crappy little high school band goes out there and kind of half massacres the national anthem. They tried, but look, they're beginning. And still, the whole crowd, hats off, hands over their chest. You're looking at the flag waving. It's awesome, right? Land of the free, that note hits and you're just filled with pride. That's not in Joe Biden, any of the people in his administration. It's not in the Republicans in the House of Representatives. These people won't even retire when they should. We all watched Mitch McConnell freeze up on camera 8,000 times. This is the most powerful Republican in the Senate. Frankly, he's the most powerful Republican in Washington, D.C. Here he was with CBS over the weekend.
People wonder about your health. How are you feeling? How are you doing?
I'm fine. I'm completely recovered and just fine.
You and your office felt the need to share and disclose some of the details about your health because of some of these public incidents. And the doctor here said there was no evidence of Parkinson's disease or a stroke or a seizure. And I wonder, is there anything the public should know that wasn't disclosed?
I'm in good shape, completely recovered, and back on the job.
So does that mean that you think you are able to continue serving and you want to continue serving here at a time when we are talking about incredible dysfunction in Washington?
I think we ought to be talking about what we were talking about earlier rather than my health.
They don't give a crap about us, about the country. Remember, right now, because of what's happening with the debt and what's happening with interest rates and the dollar and everything that's coming, there should be an all-hands-on-deck meeting in Washington, D.C., Democrat, Republican, all of them, figuring out how much we can slash and burn, what we can afford to keep, because fiscal collapse is coming. And none of these people care. None of them. Not a care in the world for the country I love and the country you love. And it drives me freaking crazy. Speaking of the financial crisis, you want to talk to an expert about that? I'm going to talk to Carol Roth about it next. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. And there's something else that's going to make you uncomfortable. tax season is now officially upon us. And these people, they hired 87,000 new IRS agents because they intend to use them. Are you behind on your taxes? You owe? Did you miss a year? You owe 10 grand? 20? 100? Did you miss 10 years? What do you think those 87,000 IRS agents are there to do? Actually go after rich people? No, rich people have better lawyers. They're coming after you. What do you need? You need Tax Network USA. What they do is, no matter what your situation is, you missed a year, you missed 10 years, no matter what, they dig in, the pros dig in, and they will get you a path out. Let them do that for you. Go to taxnetworkusa.com/Jesse. Don't try to do this on your own. The IRS hired pros. You hire a pro. Taxnetworkusa.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The border numbers are, okay, what word do we use anymore? Amazing, staggering, horrific. What word do you want me to use? The country's being invaded and overrun. There's not another way to put it. Over 6 million encounters in just 3 years of a Biden presidency. And it chaps me to no end to listen to the losers in the GOP describe what's happening on the border as a mistake, or Joe Biden stumbles, or it's a failure at the border. You only have that many illegals pouring into your country if it's intentional. They didn't trip and fall and allow illegals into the country. They want them here. Joining me now, someone who knows a lot more about this than I do, Mark Krikorian, of course, of the great Center for Immigration Studies. Mark, I don't know what it is. I don't know why the right continues to use this language when they discuss what Joe Biden and the Democrats do. They failed. They stumbled. This is what they want. That's why it's open.
Yeah, I actually, my take's a little bit different. You're right that the idea that this is somehow a mistake, or that they, you know, they're not doing a good enough job, that's ludicrous. I think what's driving this, though, is partly among some people what you're suggesting, that they actually want this flood of people. I actually think, for the most part, what's driving this is an ideological commitment to open borders. In other words, they don't believe that the American people have the right to say no. So that if the numbers didn't go up, but they still let everybody in, they would be okay with that for the most part. What they don't believe that we as the people have the right to do is say no to people who are walking up to the border and coming up with some kind of story. That's, in fact, if anything, that's even worse, because that reflects a rejection of the very concept of immigration law. And I'm afraid those are the kind of people who are running immigration policy in this administration.
Okay, that's fascinating, and you're probably correct on that. Expand on that for me, Mark. Why would they not think we have the right to say no? Even filthy commie countries throughout history have secured their own borders, but we can't? What?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's two things. Part of it is let's face it, they just don't like America very much. And so we kind of deserve it. You know, it's that sort of thing. That, you know, we've interfered in the world, and so we're not, you know, anybody from Central America who wants to move here gets to, because the United Fruit Company 100 years ago interfered in their business. It's that kind of thing, but it goes even beyond that, I think, in that these people don't see national borders in general as legitimate. They don't think Europe has the right to keep people out. They don't think Australia or Israel have the right to keep people out. The issue, of course, is that those are the only countries that people want to go to. You know, if people were flocking to go to Cuba, they might still be opposed to measures to keep them out. Although, you know, let's try that and see what happens. But as it happens, the countries people want to go to are democratic, stable countries, obviously, because the economies are better, the governments are better, there's public order. And those are the very places that these people don't think have the right to keep anybody out. It's like reparations almost through immigration. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean. Let's talk about the terror aspect of this, Mark, because I got to be honest with you. I think a bunch of military-age men crossing the border, no matter what, is a problem. But if I was a hostile foreign power, whether it's a terrorist organization or communist China, and I thought I could get 1,000 trained men into America, I could probably do quite a bit of damage, and that's with 1,000. We have terrorists showing up at our border, and those are the ones we're catching.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you know, I don't think that there's a bunch of Hamas guys in Tijuana waiting to rush over the border and kill people. But there's no question that this vulnerability, this ease of getting people into the country, is going to be a temptation that's irresistible to places, whether it's terrorist organizations, whether it's the Chinese communists, whether it's the Russian FSB or the Cubans or whoever, the Iranians. Why wouldn't they use this as a way of getting people into the country? And, you know, we're not going to know what happened until after it happens. This is why you have border security, so you sort of reduce the likelihood of these kind of problems happening. You have it at the borders, you have it at the airports, you have it at the visa offices. In other words, you have to have border security. It needs to be indivisible, as it were. In other words, across the board, because otherwise, wherever the weak point is, that's where both bad guys and just regular illegal aliens are going to try to get in.
Mark, states and in fact individuals feel extremely helpless right now who want this stopped. And in many ways, they are, aren't they? After all, it is the federal government's authority. It's the federal government's business to secure the border. If your federal government is full of a bunch of dirty commies who don't want to secure the border, you're pretty much up the creek, aren't you?
For a while, but I mean, that's what elections are for. That's what impeachments are for. That's what state governments to a degree are for, because Texas can't stop this immigration disaster on its own, but they have been taking steps to try to minimize the problems for Texas. And so in your own state, you can potentially do something. Of course, it depends on which state. California is not going to do anything, but a lot of states can do certain things to make their states less appealing to illegal immigrants, so that even if the feds wave in millions of illegal immigrants across the border, you can do something in your community, in your state, to convince them to go to Chicago and New York instead of where you live.
Speaking of which, Greg Abbott, he's making Eric Adams' life miserable in New York City. Well, here it is.
In recent weeks, we've seen migrants arriving more and more quickly. Instead of the 2,400 people in a week that we had previously, we're now getting nearly 4,000 a week. These mayors, my colleagues across America, are doing the best they can, but it's clear that all of these cities are overwhelmed.
Mark, is this going to be an effective strategy in the long run? Don't get me wrong, I love making these sanctuary cities actually experience illegal immigration the way they claim to love. But you hear Eric Adams chirping at Joe Biden, Kathy Hochul's asking for more money. Is this maybe a path forward?
It definitely helps. It's not the solution, but there's no question that Greg Abbott has changed the national discussion on this, and that's what the real benefit of this is. It's not just that Texas sent some illegal immigrants to New York. In fact, most of the illegal immigrants going to New York aren't even being bused there by Texas. They're getting there on their own. But it is changed the discussion, and it's not going to change the mind of people on the hard left who don't believe America has a right to exist, let alone keep illegal aliens out. But it may well have an influence on a lot of people in the middle who may be turned off by some of Trump's, you know, over-the-top boorishness, but it's getting through to them that there's real problem at the border. So I would say, yes, what Abbott and others have been doing in sending illegal immigrants to New York and Chicago and elsewhere has paid dividends more, really, than I ever expected when that started.
Yeah. Mark, thank you, brother. Come back soon. I appreciate it.
Love to. Thank you.
All right. St. George Floyd is back in the news, and man, our justice system is not good. Talk about that in a moment. Before we get to that, let's do this real quickly. We warn a lot about the debt, the interest, the hyperinflation. You've seen all the stuff about mortgage rates, the dollar. Look, you know what's coming. You don't need me to convince you. Anyone with eyes can see there is a financial problem coming. Now, how bad it's going to be, I don't know. I don't know. Is it going to collapse our financial system? Good. World War III? Who knows? Depression? Maybe a minor recession? Hopefully, I guess we can hope for that. I don't know. Here's what I do know. No matter what happens, gold, silver, they will have incredible value. Value you can use to purchase goods, services you may need to get by. But what are you supposed to do? Get a bunch of gold bars from Egypt like Bob Menendez? No, just get some coins. You don't need a bank vault. You don't need gold bars. Some coins. That's it. Oxford Gold will get you as much as you need delivered to your front door. All right? They'll also get it in your 401k so your retirement isn't wiped out when that bubble goes pop. Go to jessekellygold.com. All right? jessekellygold.com. We'll be back.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The border numbers are, okay, what word do we use anymore? Amazing, staggering, horrific. What word do you want me to use? The country's being invaded and overrun. There's not another way to put it. Over 6 million encounters in just 3 years of a Biden presidency. And it chaps me to no end to listen to the losers in the GOP describe what's happening on the border as a mistake, or Joe Biden stumbles, or it's a failure at the border. You only have that many illegals pouring into your country if it's intentional. They didn't trip and fall and allow illegals into the country. They want them here. Joining me now is someone who knows a lot more about this than I do, Mark Krikorian, of course, of the great Center for Immigration Studies. Mark, I don't know what it is. I don't know why the right continues to use this language when they discuss what Joe Biden and the Democrats do. They failed. They stumbled. This is what they want. That's why it's open.
Yeah, I actually, my take's a little bit different. You're right that the idea that this is somehow a mistake, or that they, you know, they're not doing a good enough job, that's ludicrous. I think what's driving this, though, is partly among some people what you're suggesting, that they actually want this flood of people. I actually think for the most part, what's driving this is an ideological commitment to open borders. In other words, they don't believe that the American people have the right to say no. So that if the numbers didn't go up, but they still let everybody in, they would be okay with that for the most part. What they don't believe that we as the people have the right to do is say no to people who are walking up to the border and coming up with some kind of story. That's, in fact, if anything, that's even worse, because that reflects a rejection of the very concept of immigration law. And I'm afraid those are the kind of people who are running immigration policy in this administration.
That's fascinating, and you're probably correct on that. Expand on that for me, Mark. Why would they not think we have the right to say no? Even filthy commie countries throughout history have secured their own borders, but we can't? What?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's two things. Part of it is let's face it, they just don't like America very much. And so we kind of deserve it. You know, it's that sort of thing. That, you know, we've interfered in the world, and so anybody from Central America wants to move here gets to because the United Fruit Company 100 years ago interfered in their business. It's that kind of thing, but it goes even beyond that, I think, in that these people don't see national borders in general as legitimate. They don't think Europe has the right to keep people out. They don't think Australia or Israel have the right to keep people out. The issue, of course, is that those are the only countries that people want to go to. If people were flocking to go to Cuba, they might still be opposed to measures to keep them out. Although, you know, let's try that and see what happens. But as it happens, the countries people want to go to are democratic, stable countries, obviously, because the economies are better, the governments are better, there's public order. And those are the very places that these people don't think have the right to keep anybody out. It's like reparations almost through immigration. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean. Let's talk about the terror aspect of this, Mark, because I got to be honest with you. I think a bunch of military-age men crossing the border, no matter what, is a problem. But if I was a hostile foreign power, whether it's a terrorist organization or communist China, and I thought I could get 1,000 trained men into America, I could probably do quite a bit of damage. And that's with 1,000. We have terrorists showing up at our border, and those are the ones we're catching.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think that there's a bunch of Hamas guys in Tijuana waiting to rush over the border and kill people. But there's no question that this vulnerability, this ease of getting people into the country, is going to be a temptation that's irresistible to places, whether it's terrorist organizations, whether it's the Chinese communists, whether it's the Russian FSB or the Cubans or whoever, the Iranians. Why wouldn't they use this as a way of getting people into the country? And, you know, we're not going to know what happened until after it happens. This is why you have border security, so you sort of reduce the likelihood of these kind of problems happening. You have it at the borders, you have it at the airports, you have it at the visa offices. In other words, you have to have border security. It needs to be indivisible, as it were. In other words, across the board. Because otherwise, wherever the weak point is, that's where both bad guys and just regular illegal aliens are going to try to get in.
Mark, states and in fact individuals feel extremely helpless right now who want this stopped. And in many ways, they are, aren't they? After all, it is the federal government's authority. It's the federal government's business to secure the border. If your federal government is full of a bunch of dirty commies who don't want to secure the border, you're pretty much up the creek, aren't you?
For a while. But, I mean, that's what elections are for. That's what impeachments are for. That's what state governments, to a degree, are for. Because Texas can't stop this immigration disaster on its own. But they have been taking steps to try to minimize the problems for Texas. And so in your own state, you can potentially do something. Of course, it depends on which state. California is not going to do anything, but a lot of states can do certain things to make their states less appealing to illegal immigrants, so that even if the feds wave in millions of illegal immigrants across the border, you can do something in your community, in your state, to convince them to go to Chicago and New York instead of where you live.
Speaking of which, Greg Abbott, he's making Eric Adams' life miserable in New York City. Well, here it is.
In recent weeks, we've seen migrants arriving more and more quickly. Instead of the 2,400 people in a week that we had previously, we're now getting nearly 4,000 a week. These mayors, my colleagues across America, are doing the best they can, but it's clear that all of these cities are overwhelmed.
Mark, is this going to be an effective strategy in the long run? Don't get me wrong, I love making these sanctuary cities actually experience illegal immigration the way they claim to love. But you hear Eric Adams chirping at Joe Biden, Kathy Hochul's asking for more money. Is this maybe a path forward?
It definitely helps. It's not the solution, but there's no question that Greg Abbott has changed the national discussion on this. And that's what the real benefit of this is. It's not just that Texas sent some illegal immigrants to New York. In fact, most of the illegal immigrants going to New York aren't even being bused there by Texas. They're getting there on their own. But it has changed the discussion, and it's not going to change the mind of people on the hard left who don't believe America has a right to exist, let alone keep illegal aliens out. But it may well have an influence on a lot of people in the middle who may be turned off by some of Trump's, you know, over-the-top boorishness, but it's getting through to them that there's real problem at the border. So I would say, yes, what Abbott and others have been doing in sending illegal immigrants to New York and Chicago and elsewhere has paid dividends more, really, than I ever expected when that started.
Yeah. Mark, thank you, brother. Come back soon. I appreciate it.
Love to. Thank you.
All right. St. George Floyd is back in the news, and man, our justice system is not good. Talk about that in a moment. Before we get to that, let's do this real quickly. We warn a lot about the debt, the interest, the hyperinflation. You've seen all the stuff about mortgage rates, the dollar. Look, you know what's coming. You don't need me to convince you. Anyone with eyes can see there is a financial problem coming. Now, how bad it's going to be, I don't know. I don't know. Is it going to collapse our financial system? Good. World War III, who knows? Depression, maybe a minor recession. Hopefully, I guess we can hope for that. I don't know. Here's what I do know. No matter what happens, gold, silver, they will have incredible value. Value you can use to purchase goods, services you may need to get by. But what are you supposed to do? Get a bunch of gold bars from Egypt like Bob Menendez? No, just get some coins. You don't need a bank vault. You don't need gold bars. Some coins. That's it. Oxford Gold will get you as much as you need delivered to your front door. All right? They'll also get it in your 401k so your retirement isn't wiped out when that bubble goes pop. Go to jessekellygold.com. All right? JesseKellyGold.com. We'll be back.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare. And frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Remember the whole George Floyd thing? Look, we all woke up, we saw the video. Everyone was outraged, or at least had some level of emotion about it. And then these protests started popping up all over the country. City after city after city. Vandalism, people being murdered, businesses burned, lives destroyed. And then the trial came, right? Because after all, we were told over and over and over and over again that George Floyd was murdered. In fact, multiple cops are in prison because George Floyd was murdered. That's what we were told, which is interesting because former prosecutor Amy Sweezy came out and said she talked to the medical examiner afterwards. This is a direct quote. Quote, he told me that there were no medical findings that showed any injury to the vital structures of Mr. Floyd's neck. There were no medical indications of asphyxia or strangulation. Now, hold on, what? Men are in prison for strangling him. Let's talk to Dr. Carol Swain about this, the author of The Adversity of Diversity. Doctor, I'm a little bit confused. Did this information not come out at the trial? How in the world could you convict somebody of something when the medical examiner said that something didn't happen?
It came out before the trial in the early days, and in my book, The Adversity of Diversity, there is a chapter about how George Floyd's death was used pretty much to, in the same way as 9/11, to radically change America. After that, the DEI and the racial sensitivity training, CRT, it was as if it was on steroids. And I also report in the book that the initial autopsy did not show that he was killed by the police. And I remember hearing that he had enough fentanyl in his system, you know, to kill a human being. The family got two additional autopsies. And those autopsies, you know, had different kinds of results. But there was never, as far as I recall, any of them that said conclusively that he was killed by strangulation or by Mr. Chauvin.
Okay, so doctor, people pounced on this, as you just pointed out, and they used, well, lies to get ahead or further something. But who are these people and what were they trying to get ahead on? What were they trying to further? What cause?
But Jesse, I want you to know that it wasn't just George Floyd and the police officers that went to prison in that particular case. We even had a case in Nashville involving a police officer who was 25 and he killed a young man that was 25 also that had a gun, who was a felon, that he said turned. And the young man said he followed standard policing, and the prosecutor said that it was the Nuremberg defense. And the night of the shooting, the mayor went to the family and said, I'm going to get justice for your son. And they did judge shopping. And that young man actually went to prison, that police officer. So we can talk about George Floyd and the officers that went to prison. But there's one reason why we have a shortage of police officers in America is that they have been getting a rotten deal because of the fact that the cities will settle even before there's a trial. They will settle with the families. And now, if you're Black, one of the easiest ways to become a multimillionaire is to have someone in your family shot and killed by the police, because then Benjamin Crump comes in or various people come in and it's all politicized. And this needs to end because it's hurting the Black community, it's hurting the white community. It serves no one's interest except the trial lawyers and the activists who use it for political purposes.
I'm glad you brought up the Ben Crumps of the world, because there is somebody that I'm sorry, he makes me laugh to no end. Sean King. Sean King is a white dude who pretends to be Black and a civil rights activist is what he calls himself. He's even out there taking credit for freeing American hostages in Gaza. These hostages say they've never even heard of it before. Surely the money can't be good enough for a white dude to pretend to be black and then lie about being a civil rights leader, surely the scam is not that profitable, is it?
It is that profitable. And so he identifies as a black person. And, you know, it is profitable. That's why they do it. But there's something more serious. I believe that there are incidents that occur every day that involve police encounters. And most of the data doesn't support the narrative that police officers are shooting, you know, all of these hundreds of black men, and these black men live in fear. I believe I saw data, and I'm not sure whether it was last year or the year before. It was like maybe only 19 black people were shot by the police. And when you say unarmed, we're talking about guns, but sometimes people have knives, they have axes, they have other things that can be life-threatening, or they can be karate experts. So the cases are more complicated. More white people are shot by police officers. And it's far more complicated than what is conveyed. But the most important thing is that the diversity, equity, and inclusion industry, which is a billion-dollar a year industry that permeates every institution of our government, they used George Floyd to advance their political goals. And I can tell you, before the 2024 election, the media will create another George Floyd, and they will have a narrative, and it doesn't matter if the narrative lines up. Just like hands up, don't shoot, they would do the same thing. And we watched the playbook repeatedly, and I would argue that it's part of the Marxist playbook. It's not about black people. It's not about justice. It's to further political ends. And one of the end goals is the destruction of the United States of America. And so the most important thing that people need to do is to not believe the initial media narrative, because most of the media seems to be in the back pocket of the Democratic Party. It's furthering political ends, and it's not for the benefit of the American people.
Doctor, this stuff makes race relations horrible in the country. It tears people apart racially. My opinion, we were in a much better place in the 80s and 90s than we are today. You may have a different opinion about that, but race-wise, it certainly seemed that way to me. And now people are picking at each other all the time. This is a dangerous situation. It's creating a powder keg in our own country, American against American.
I mean, I agree 100%. And I think about my own rise from poverty and my education. I benefited from the passage of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 that prohibited discrimination on the basis of race, color, creed, sex, national origin, religion. And there was an era when we sought equal opportunity, and many minorities and women benefited from the non-discrimination. But I can tell you that we had reached a point before the election of Barack Obama where we thought we were a post-racial society. We were getting along pretty well. There were opportunities. And the Marxist agenda is conflict-based. It's about pitting groups against one another. And I can tell you that there seems to be a huge reversal. And there's so many people in America, not just black people, but plenty of white people that don't know our nation's history. They don't know how much progress we made. They don't understand, and they believe, you know, that minorities are victims and that they are inferior, because the progressives tell us that minorities are inferior, that if you don't lower the standards, they can't compete. And they ignore all of these successes of people that were successful before their latest narrative of black inferiority, Hispanic inferiority, which they say, you know, is because of white privilege. It's just ludicrous, but it's all Marxist-based. And I really hope that the American people will understand how neo-Marxism impacts every policy we have today, where diversity, equity, and inclusion came from, how to fight back. And you fight back using the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and the Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution. And the Supreme Court got it right when they struck down race-based college admissions in universities. That was a step in the right direction, and I argue that they will have to strike down diversity, equity, and inclusion for the same reason, because it discriminates against whites and Asians and men, as well as other groups, heterosexuals in competition with homosexuals, Christians in situations where there are other religious groups, men are being discriminated against. They are protected by our laws and our Civil Rights Act. And so I want a better society, a better America, and we have everything we need. Go back to the Constitution and our civil rights laws.
Doctor, thank you so much. I appreciate you. Appreciate you very much.
Thank you.
We're going to go to a light in the mood. We need one, right? Next.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put 2 and 2 together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is time for Lighten the Mood. And this one, it's rare anymore to see something that's laugh out loud funny. But here's what happened. AI, artificial intelligence, they can do amazing things now. It all looks real. They can make real-looking videos and real-looking this, and they can make real-looking pictures, perfectly real-looking pictures. And you can load in things or ask AI to do things for you, and they'll come up with a composite of what they see, of what it is. Essentially, somebody asked AI to make a picture of what a woman looks like from each country, from different countries. And I just want you to sit back and enjoy. And, well, here it is. See you tomorrow.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.